And now, Dick Tracy!
This is Dick Tracy on the case of the Book of Four Kings. Stand by for action. Let's go, men.
Yes, it's Dick Tracy, protector of law and order.
In just a moment, we'll hear today's Dick Tracy adventure. But first, here's a thought for today. You know, it doesn't take money to bring happiness to yourself, and you can have a fine, adventuresome life without it. Take Dr. Wilfred Grenfell, for instance. Now, there was a man who started many years ago to build a rich medical practice in the wealthiest section of London. And he did, too. But one year he needed a rest, and so he decided on a great adventure to spend a vacation on the coast of Labrador, that barren strip of land on the east coast of Canada. He found 30,000 fishermen living there, all of them poor, hardworking, without a single doctor to take care of them. Back in London, after his vacation, he made a decision. He would close out his well-paying practice and open a doctor's office in Labrador. The next year found him in Labrador again, traveling up and down the 15 miles of frozen wasteland to give medical care to the fishermen who had never had it before. He spent the rest of his life there working tremendously hard, but never making a single cent. Dr. Grenfell was completely happy because he was doing work he loved. And he knew he was being useful. Makes you think, doesn't it?
And now, Dick Tracy.
Yesterday, the doorman at Big Digger's apartment house made the singular mistake of attempting to blackmail him. And so Big Digger tricked him into a meeting on the retaining wall overlooking the underpass through the park. Once there, Big Digger beat the doorman groggy with the barrel of his gun and then hurled him into the underpass in front of a racing car. But before the doorman died, he tried to leave Tracy a message. When Tracy and Patton reached the scene of the tragedy, they saw that the dead man was holding three playing cards in his hand, an ace of spades, a queen of diamonds, and a ten of clubs. Right now, Dick and Pat are finishing their investigation in the underpass.
All right, get your hand over here.
All
this way.
Sergeant,
over.
Hi, Pat.
Oh, Dick, we're all done now. Creatures have been taken from every possible angle. I checked with the medical examiner, and he's going to do an autopsy right away.
Good work, Pat.
What do you say we hit the sack? That wind is getting chilly, and we're going to have a busy day tomorrow.
In a little while, Pat. Tell me, how about the driver that killed this man? Anyone picked up yet?
Not so far, Inspector Tracy, but I put it on the teletype, and I'm also having all repair garages within a 100-mile radius on the lookout for a car with a smashed right fender.
I'm awfully anxious to talk to whoever was driving that car.
Yeah, I could spare a word or two for him myself.
Let's hope you get the chance.
Say, have you got those playing cards that the fellow was holding?
Yes, I have them here in this envelope. I took them as soon as the boys had made pictures of them. I'm going to have them checked at headquarters for fingerprints.
Yeah, I wish I could figure out what they meant.
We will. Come on up here with me, Pat.
What gives, little mountain climbing?
I'd like to take a look at the park area up here.
Yeah. You know, this retaining wall is well tiered.
I'll tell the building commissioner you said so.
Thank you, sir. Well, what are you going to look for up here?
I'm not sure yet. Come on over here. Now, there's the body right down there.
You didn't get me up here to tell me that, did you?
The car must have been traveling fast, judging from those skid marks. So it's safe to assume that the body was tossed about 10 or 15 feet at least. Let's walk down here. Shine your light around here on the cement walk, Pat.
How's that?
Fine.
Hey, Dick. What's that?
It looks to me like drops of blood.
What does it mean?
It could mean, Pat, that our doorman wasn't struck while walking along through the underpass.
No?
No. It could mean that he was up here.
And that he fell or jumped to the underpass below.
Fell or jumped or was pushed.
You smell a murder?
The odor isn't overpowering, but it's strong, Pat. And I think this is all I want to see around here, Pat. I'll drop you off at your apartment. We'll meet at headquarters first thing in the morning.
I'm for that. I don't want you to think that I'm mad for sleep, but every once in a while it comes in handy. Good morning, Richard.
Hello, Pat. Sit down.
Oh, you're so kind. Any reports in yet?
Some. I've just been going over the post-mortem. Boys did a quick job.
What's the verdict?
Well, there's no doubt but that the man died from injuries he received when the car struck him.
There goes your murder theory.
Not quite.
Well, what else did you find?
Some unexplained head injuries.
You mean something that wasn't the result of the collision with the car?
Exactly. I don't think we could ever prove anything because they could be a freak result of the collision. But I think, and Dr. Carey agrees with me, that the bruises on the face and nose were caused by a pipe or a loaded cane.
In other words, somebody belted the guy before he tangled with the auto?
Yes.
Oh, you've been reading too many books. Why try to complicate a simple hit-and-run death?
No, I'm not trying to look for things that weren't there. But supposing that someone did slug him, wouldn't that account for the bloodstains that we found on the top of the retaining wall?
I hadn't thought of that.
The man could have been struck up there, and then, while he was still dazed, pushed off in front of the first car to come along.
You may have something there, my lad.
Well, I'm not giving it up for a while.
How about this doorman? Did you find out anything about him?
Well, he had several run-ins with the juvenile authorities. A couple of years ago, he served 6 months in the pen.
Just a clean, healthy American boy.
Yeah, I think he was hanging around on the fringe of the rackets, trying to get in somehow.
And look what happened to him. You'd think these jerks would get wise to themselves. They lead a life that no self-respecting pig would tolerate for a moment, with nothing but prisoner of the chair ahead of them. What was he doing as a doorman?
Maybe he was getting set to case the joint. Duck Boy, the owner-manager of the apartment, told me that he was just keeping him there on trial.
Do you think his murder had anything to do with your showing him the picture of Marchese?
That's the big question, Pat. If this man's death is tied in with Marchese's murder, it means that someone around here is getting close to home.
And all I want to know is who done it.
You know, I think the doorman was trying to tell us when he died.
Are you crazy?
Let's stick to one subject at a time.
Well, how was he trying to tell us?
This fellow always carried a pack of cards around with him.
Yeah, I know. He had three cards in his hand when we saw him last night.
Yes. There they are, Pat. Right on the desk.
The ace of spades, the queen of diamonds, and the ten of clubs. Well, what was he going to do, play three-card Monty?
He'd been playing for his life. And when he got those cards out, he knew he'd lost.
And you think he was trying to tell us something. Well, what?
We're going to sit right here in this office until we've found out.
The ace of spades, the queen of diamonds, and the ten of clubs. Frankly, they don't mean anything to me.
Don't give up too easily, Pat.
If I didn't, it was a terrible struggle.
Ten of clubs, queen of diamonds, ace of spades.
Oh, Tracy, you're starting to snow. I'm getting out my shovel.
Go right ahead, Pat. What did you say?
I said I'm getting out my shovel. I know it wasn't very funny, but it was the best I
could... Shovel, shovel. Maybe that's it.
Maybe what you need is a good psychiatrist.
Pat, what's something else like a shovel?
A hoe?
Oh, no, you idiot. A spade.
Tracy, I'm trying to humor you. All right, a spade is like a shovel.
Don't you see, Pat? One of the cards the doorman was holding in his dead fingers was the ace of spades.
Yes, I know.
Oh, you're singularly dense today, Pat. What is a spade?
We just did that one. It's like a shovel.
A spade is a digger. A digger, get it?
Mm-hmm.
And the ace of spades is a...
A big digger. Say.
Had enough?
Tracy, you're a great man.
Oh, well.
We think that Big Digger murdered Marchese, and now this doorman dies under peculiar circumstances after having been shown a picture of Marchese.
It's more than the long arm of coincidence, Pat. Big Digger is our murderer.
Yes, but we still don't know where he is or what he looks like.
I think I know where he is, or at least where he operates.
Yeah, where?
Almost surely in that apartment house where the doorman worked. And I think I know what apartment.
What are you, clairvoyant?
No. It's the cards again. The ten of clubs. Apartment 10C.
Say, I'll bet you're right. Shall we pick him up?
I regret to say no. No, there's not a jury in the world would convict a man of murder because a dead man was holding three cards in his hands. And that's the sum total of our proof.
What about Marchese's killing?
There again, we're stuck. All we have to go on is conjecture. We haven't one shred of evidence.
What are you going to do?
I'm going to put a detective on as night doorman at that apartment. And we'll see if we can find out who this big digger is.
How about me, Dick?
No, you might be recognized, Pat. I'm going to use Danny Hochter. You know, he's an up-and-coming cop. I think he's going far in the department.
Isn't he on leave of absence?
No, he got back yesterday. He was just out a couple of days while his wife had a baby.
Get him for me, will you, Pat? I'm going to call Duck Boy, the owner of the apartment house. Tell him he's got a new doorman.
And at the apartment house late that very afternoon, Big Digger and Baguette meet in apartment 10C.
I see by the papers that your doorman was the victim of a hit-and-run driver in the park underpass last night.
Yes, wasn't it a pity?
How did you manage it?
I was very subtle. I slugged him and dropped him down the embankment in front of a car, neat and simple.
And safe.
A decided virtue.
There's been considerable loss of life since you came to town.
Only two casualties, and both completely justified.
Oh, I wasn't criticizing.
Did you see Van Rumple?
Mm-hmm. I had lunch with him today. He's very anxious to play some poker tonight. He was so pleased when he won yesterday.
They all are. When I retire, I'm going to write a book on Dopus Americanus, the common or ground variety of American sucker.
It should have an extensive sale. Have you seen your new doorman?
Have we got another already?
Why, yes, and he's beautiful. And so polite.
Does he seem accustomed to the work?
Well, just how much training does it take to open a door?
Stop being funny. I'm wondering about something.
What?
If that guy who was trying to blackmail me told the cops more than he let on, I'm going to call Duck Boy.
Who's he?
He's the owner-manager of this apartment house. He knows me as Roberts and thinks I'm a great guy. He ought to after the bribe I gave him to get this apartment.
Hello?
Hello, Duck Boy. This is Roberts.
Oh, hello.
I'm calling to complain about your new doorman. I want him fired.
Isn't he any good?
He's terrible.
Well, I'm afraid I can't fire him.
I'm not in the habit of playing games. Either fire that new doorman or I go to the state rent control board and tell them you took $5,000 under the table as a bribe for this apartment.
Now, just a minute, Mr. Roberts. I'd like to do what you ask, but I can't. Please don't do anything. Just be patient. You see, I was forced to take this man by the police.
In a moment, we'll return to Dick Tracy. But first, you've probably all heard the expression, life in the raw. Well, nowhere was life in the raw better exemplified than in the great Northwest during the days of the Klondike Gold Rush. That was country that, as the saying goes, separated the men from the boys. Each Thursday night on Challenge of the Yukon, you can enjoy exciting tales of adventure set in this rough wilderness untouched by refinements of civilization. Challenge of the Yukon is a colorful program which is broadcast over most of these same ABC stations. The stories are concerned with Sergeant Preston's fight to maintain law and order at a time when authority seemed to rest in each man's pistol holster. Representative of the small group of Northwest Mounted Police who brave the elements to track down ruthless criminals, Sergeant Preston is aided by his highly trained Eskimo lead dog, King. Although many of the action-packed dramatizations on Challenge of the Yukon deal with conflicts between men, there is also variation in the plot, stories that revolve around a wolf, a bear, and other animals of the Yukon, wildlife adventures that are entirely different from anything produced on the air before this. Tune in Challenge of the Yukon tonight. And now, back to Dick Tracy.
What is it, Big Digger?
Not very good. A new doorman was put there by the police department. Call off the game tonight. I've got to do some thinking. It looks like another casualty may be justified.
It's bad luck for Dick Tracy that his scheme has been found out by Big Digger. Better tune in tomorrow for The Adventures of Dick Tracy, heard overseas through the Armed Forces Radio Service. And this is George Gunn speaking. An average Mr. Radio listener recently said, "Your Thursday night Willie Piper show is certainly pleasant. Yes, it moves along so smoothly and delightfully that you'll be surprised to find yourself completely absorbed in the story, unaware that your face is covered with a broad smile. 30 minutes pass just like that, and you're left with a mellow, contented feeling. The hero of the show is Willie Piper, a well-intentioned youth who blunders his way through the darndest predicaments. He's married to a wonderful girl. They live with Willie's father-in-law. These are the chief members of the cast, and so for the story and for wholesome chuckles, hear the Willie Piper Show broadcast tonight over most of these same ABC stations. This is ABC, the American Broadcasting Company.